Welcome to Glad News for Muslims, a ministry to motivate, encourage, and equip believers and churches to love all people and to communicate the good news of God's love and salvation to all, including those who practice Islam. One out of every four people living in the world today is a Muslim. The Muslim population doubles every 20 years. Muslims are growing rapidly in Europe, Australia, Canada, and America. In fact, in Southern California alone, there are 1.5 million Muslims. With more, here's your host, Sammy Tanago.
Hello, welcome back, my precious audience. I want to start today by sharing a few facts that confirms that the Bible is the Word of God. My dear Muslim friends, many of them tell me the Bible was altered. Well, it is only fair that you, my Muslim friend, examine the evidence with objectivity. Any accusation that the Bible was altered raises serious questions which demand answers from those people who have made this claim. When could this alleged alteration of the Holy Scriptures have occurred? Before Muhammad's time? Well, obviously, all the verses in the Quran about the Bible confirm clearly that Muhammad did not believe the Bible to be corrupt in his time. Actually, all the verses stated that the Bible is the Word of God. So it could not have been altered before Muhammad's time. Well, some Muslim will say, oh, maybe it got altered after the death of Muhammad. Impossible, because by AD 600, Christianity had spread as far as Asia, Africa, and Europe. Comparisons of Bible translations reveal textual accuracy, my friend. Those who had embraced Christianity in Asia, Africa, and Europe had no common language. The Bible was circulating in many different languages around the world. This would make any attempt to falsify the Holy Scriptures impossible. And the comparisons of these Bible translations in the various languages reveal complete accuracy of the Bible text. All right. An impossible conspiracy. It is not rational to suppose that Christians and Jews throughout the world could meet and agree on the alterations of their Holy Scripture. History shows that Jews and Christians have had major doctrinal differences between them, and they have been in disagreement regarding many religious issues. Even many verses in the Quran stated this fact. Surah 2, verse 113, clearly stated Christians were divided into sects. So if the scripture had been changed to alter doctrine, at least one of the many sects that existed within Judaism or Christianity at that time would have protested. Yet there is no historical mention of any such accusation or dissension. Well, by the time Muhammad lived, Christianity had spread throughout the world. Therefore, it would have been impossible for anyone or any group to collect all the holy books, manuscripts, and writings containing scripture references from all the churches, synagogues, schools, libraries, and homes to make the changes, then the replacements would have had to be returned without detection. How could everyone who had a Bible be convinced to exchange for a corrupted version and yet leave no evidence of such monumental feat? Impossible, my friend. All right, allow me to move to a different topic, which is Adam. God created Adam and Eve. His purpose was that man might enjoy constant and beautiful fellowship with him. Well, Adam disobeyed God. Adam's sin and our sin caused the separation between mankind and the holy God. Adam and Eve were created morally pure. When they disobeyed God, they fell from a righteous standing before a holy God and lost the ability to be completely moral. My friend, God placed a certain tree in the middle of the garden as a symbol of his authority over man. Adam was granted the freedom to choose. The moment Adam and Eve chose to eat the fruit from the forbidden tree, they intentionally challenged and violated the authority of God. Because Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, God expelled them from heaven. No one can make light of Adam's sin by saying he just forgot God's command and God forgave him. Adam could not have possibly forgotten the only command God gave him, especially since Satan had just reminded him of God's prohibition. And also, if God forgave him and everything became fine again, why then didn't God take Adam and Eve back to paradise to enjoy his presence? You see? The truth is, my friend, sin infected all humanity. The original sin of Adam and Eve had a devastating effect on the whole human race. Sin entered the human nature, and all humanity now plunges into a world where sin and death reign. Help your Muslim friend to see that sin became an integral part of the human nature. God created man in his own image and gave him the freedom of choice. Man chose to rebel against God. Consequently, Adam's sin distorted God's image in mankind. The human nature fell captive to the power of sin and became intrinsically corrupt. Man cannot purify his soul to the state it was in before the fall. Even Muhammad said Satan runs in the body of Adam's son as his blood circulates in it. We don't depend on what Muhammad said or what the Quran said. However, I find it very interesting that many of their statements support the biblical teaching. Now, some Muslims tell me this does not make any sense, that we suffer because of Adam and Eve's wrong choice and their disobedience to God. I explain that this principle is logical and observable even today. For example, when a leader wages war, people are killed. However, the good news you can read in the gospel, Jesus came to reconcile us with God, to save us. Hallelujah! There is more to come, so please stay with me.
You're listening to Sammy Tanago, founder and president of Glad News for Muslims Ministry. Sammy's calling is one, to share Jesus effectively with Muslims, and two, to equip Christians to do the same. The value of a ministry is in the eternal fruits God has enabled the ministry to produce. The proof is in the changed lives. God has been using the messages He inspires Sammy to share to equip His Christian audience. God has also been using the book titled Glad News, God Loves You, My Muslim Friend, which He guided Sammy to write to equip Christians and to help thousands of Muslims become followers of Christ. We encourage you to examine the evidence on our website, gladnewsministry.com. Again, you'll find Sammy's book, videos, contact information for inviting Sammy as a guest speaker, and more at gladnewsministry.com. And please, as God guides you, let others know about our unique ministry and radio programs. Now, once again, here's Sammy.
Welcome back, my precious audience. Today we'll talk about Sufism, the Muslim mystic. These people, the Sufis, are hungry for a real encounter with God. Sufism is not a sect of Islam, but a mystical movement within both the Sunnis and the Shia. And it emphasizes inner spirituality over external forms. Sufis' thirst is for union with God and to escape from themselves. All right. Sufism appeared in pious circles as a reaction against the worldliness of Muslim rulers. They met to pray and discuss acts of piety. Sufis engage in repetitive recitation of some Quranic verses that they feel they made them close to God. Like other ascetics of the time, Sufis chose to wear dress or uniform made of wool as a mark of renunciation of the world. So Sufis mean wool. The term Sufi means a person dressed in wool. W-O-O-L. Sufism emphasizes a program of spiritual ascent. This involves a number of stations in progressive order that the Sufi must reach under the guidance of his master. Attaining a station is believed to be determined by the level of effort and desire manifested by the Muslim person. Yet, at the same time, attainment of these spiritual stations is regarded not as a result of human action alone, but as a divine gift. Sufi doctrine. God exists. He is in all things, and all things are in Him. Two, all visible and invisible beings emerges from God. Another doctrine, they believe that God is the one who fixes the will of man. Therefore, man is not free in his actions. All right. I want to also give you more idea about Sufism. The Sufis were ascetics who'd adopted a simple lifestyle in protest against the luxury riches of their godless Muslim rulers. In a sense, they renounced the world and went seeking God. They wore rough woolen woolen garments, from which they got their nickname, Woolies or Sufis. Muslim caliphs were no exception to the rule, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Following the great success of the Muslim armies in the early centuries of Islam, a great gap developed between the rulers who became corrupt and the pious scholars who were powerless against them. Those pious scholars wanted to renounce the world, follow a path of physical self-denial, and seek God. Those scholars and those Muslims were called Sufis. Many pious Muslims were seeking to have experiences with God rather than debates about Him. Those are Sufis. Sufis was further stimulated by the daring thought that if Muhammad could receive revelation from God, so could others. They wanted to experience direct contact with God. One of the famous Sufi leaders said, "I exist in God and I am altogether His. I live in the shadow of His command. To a royal husband, I am betrothed, engaged to be married to God, and to Him I minister. I have loved thee with two loves, a selfish love and a love that is worthy of thee." I think this Muslim Sufi leader called Rab'a al-Adawiyya. Anyway, many of them say love songs to God. Sufis believes what was at first a form of religion adopted by individual and communicated to a small circle of companions gradually became a monastic system, a school of saints with rules of discipline and devotion. Sufis beginners learn these from spiritual directors called pir or ustad or murshid, to whose guidance they submitted themselves absolutely. Sufism developed a doctrine of an inner experiential knowledge, ma'rifa in Arabic, which it progressively came to oppose the intellectual knowledge of theology. Later, Sufism bred all kinds of disorderly and wild rituals involving self-inflicted wounds, chanters moving backward and forward, or from side to side, falling unconscious to the floor. All of the orders of Sufism do not follow the same stages of discipline. Each order sets its own rules. All right, so many of them start with repentance. And then love. The skillful Sufis person gives himself to remembrances of the names of God and seeks to exclude all thoughts except of God, devote his feelings to God. It's important to understand these things about the Muslim Sufis. Why? Because we can share from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 16. Jesus said, "If anyone wishes to be my disciple, he must deny himself, set aside selfish interest, and take up his cross, be willing to endure whatever may come, and follow me." So you are explaining what Jesus said to the Sufis, and you can start building bridges. explain what Jesus meant by what he said. So Sufis try to get close to God, to reach complete union with God through denying themselves. So we can share with them also what Jesus said in John 15, I no longer call you a servant, but I called you friends. And then the most important thing you want to share with Sufis is that through Jesus, they can be united with God. And you can read Colossians 2, for in Christ lives all the fullness of God in human body. And Jesus said, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If anyone hears my voice and open the door, I will come in. So my precious Muslim friend, God himself will live within you when you invite Jesus to enter your heart and life. Since Jesus shares the very nature of God and he offers to live within you, he is able to unite you with God.
I have a coworker who I can consider somewhat of a friend, who's a Muslim. We talk here and there. I'm not as knowledgeable as I should be about the Bible. I would love to be more knowledgeable and try to help him concerned. But it's hard to answer some of his questions concerning the Old Testament and the New Testament. I had given him a Bible, so I don't know. You know, hopefully he still has that in his house.
Okay, we do have a fellow here in our church who is an Egyptian, and he probably knows more about the Muslim faith than what they know. Mm-hmm. And he's written a book titled, God Loves You, My Muslim Friend. Many Muslims have been converted after reading this book. I would highly recommend that you give him this book by Sammy Tanaho on God Loves You, My Muslim Friend.
This is a really, really good book because it focuses on the love of God for the Muslim, where he shows the biblical revelation of God and his relationship with us is that of father and child, where the Quranic revelation of God is master and slave. And the gospel brings us into the family of God as children of God with a loving, gracious Heavenly Father. Not to mention the fact that the biblical story is true and the story of the Quran is not true.
I have to tell you that God guided me to write the book, Glad News, God Loves You, My Muslim Friend, to answer questions Muslims usually ask about our Christian faith and to present Jesus in the most understandable, convincing, and attractive way to Muslims. God used the Glad News book to help thousands of Muslims become followers of Christ. You can read many testimonies on our website. Please buy as many Glad News books as you can. Keep one of them. Give one to your pastor and the others to the Muslims you will meet through divine appointments. I encourage you to believe that when you take actions and invest in our ministry, God will use your life to help so many Muslims spend eternity with Him. To order, call 714-514-2558. Again, 714-514-2558. I would love to come to your church to further motivate your fellowship to love all people, including Muslims, and share Jesus effectively with them. You can call me 714-514-2558. Again, 714-514-2558. If God puts it on your heart to enable us to share Jesus effectively with more Muslims, you can donate at our website.
You've been listening to Glad News for Muslims with Sammy Tanago. For more information about the ministry, visit gladnewsministry.com. You can also call 714-514-2558 or write Sammy, S-A-M-Y, at gladnewsministry.com. This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa.